All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, Wednesday, March 6th, just a couple of days until the deadline and things are heating up. The show is brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Picks coming a little bit later on in the program. And as always, we are looking for your inbox questions over with hashtag AskDFO. I'm Tyler Remchuk. He's our Daily Faceoff insider, Frank Saravalli. And Frank, things be happening.
Oh, man. Are they ever? Certainly things heating up. We got a trade to dive into that's just developed here in the last 15 minutes or so with Vladimir Tarasenko going to the Florida Panthers. But a whole lot in the works today.
A lot expected to go on here. Carter Hutton's going to swing by, going to talk some goaltending in the middle of the show, an update to the trade targets board. Lots to get to, so let's not waste any more time and start with the news that just broke a few minutes ago, Frank. Vladimir Tarasenko is a Florida Panther. What's the word on the return, and was this maybe always a good fit in the eyes of the Tarasenko camp?
Well, this was certainly a good fit from a personal perspective. I believe Tarasenko has a house in the South Florida area, and on the list of teams that he wanted to try and get moved to, the Panthers were certainly one of them. And I always find it interesting for someone that has a full no move clause and completely controls how this process will play out. It isn't always that either the other side is interested and or that they have a need or a fit for you. And certainly the Panthers in this case taking advantage. And I also find it interesting, too, that Tarasenko in the last few weeks had changed agents again and went with Craig Oster, who is Brady Tkachuk's uncle. Now he's going to Matthew Tkachuk's team. So easy kind of, deal to broker. Two draft picks coming back. I don't think they're super high picks, but waiting on official confirmation. As you know, sometimes these things take a little bit of time. There's an actual physical piece of paper that Vladimir Tarasenko has to sign in order for the trade to be processed.
So you mentioned the return, maybe not all that high. Are we expecting salary retention in this deal for the Panthers to fit him in? You had mentioned the Panthers were shopping at Gucci with a Walmart budget. This feels like that kind of acquisition, right?
Well, and it wasn't just in terms of cap space. Actually, the Panthers have $5 million in cap space right now. It was really more so in terms of assets. They don't have a first round pick until 2026. They don't have a second round pick this year. So if you're talking about what you would call mid-round picks moving, they have the ability to make that happen this year. But would that be enough for the Ottawa Senators to consider moving Tarasenko? The thing is, they're out of the mix, quite obviously. And more than that, Tarasenko has complete control. So there's not really a ton that the Sens could do to leverage the situation. If this was the only place that he wanted to go, well, then that's the direction that this was heading.
Are you expecting the Panthers to be up to anything else ahead of Friday's deadline, or is this going to be their one move?
No, I would be surprised if this is just their one move. I know another name that they've had interest in, and in a very similar situation, would be Max Pacioretty, also holding the full no move in Washington. He just has a $2 million cap hit. Pacioretty is now in the top 10 of our new trade targets board, which we'll get to in a second. But I would think that Pacioretty and Tarasenko together in one trade deadline sort of acquisition or period acquisition would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, so Panthers could not be done quite yet. That's
the
one
team
trade.
The team to beat in the East is getting stronger.
They are, yeah. I mean, a couple of guys who have also been on long playoff runs in those two as well. Frank, up next, the deal that happened last night. I have Sir Anthony Mantha at the bottom. Get it? He's been knighted. Huh? Yeah. I don't need to hold for laughter there. But Mantha goes from Washington to the Golden Knights. So Vegas dips in to that LTIR pool a little bit. Mantha retained in the transaction 50% by Washington. Vegas gives up a second and a fourth round pick. What did you make of the return that Washington was able to get for a guy in Mantha who, honestly, Frank, it felt like over the summer they couldn't give this guy away?
No, that is stone cold fact. That's not opinion. They had tried and let every team in the league know we're not looking for anything in return for Anthony Mantha, just looking to get him off of our books, looking to start fresh. And they didn't find any takers. And sometimes in the NHL, what's down is up. Stocks rise more crazy than Bitcoin. And you see the year that he had basically on track for his career best year or close to it in terms of goal production, has already hit 20. He's clearly a big body that has a ton of talent that teams have really struggled to consistently draw out of him. Now, given the salary retention here, it basically boils down to a second round pick for Mantha and a fourth for the Caps to retain half, and seems like a fair acquisition price. If you're the Vegas Golden Knights and you want to go out and make multiple moves, which we're expecting, well, then in this case, you're able to still do that with the Caps retaining half. It doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. You keep your first round pick. And as mentioned, you add a big body that could be an intriguing presence. Now, the scouting return or scouting reports have been really mixed from people that I trust on Mantha. Not a huge fan of his game. Feel like the inconsistency and the lack of compete and work ethic at times absolutely drives people crazy. One general manager had said to me over the last number of weeks that they felt like Anthony Mantha was just as likely to be a healthy scratch in the playoffs as he would to be an impact player. Might be a little harsh, but it just goes to show you really kind of how polarizing the view is. You've got the defending cup champs giving up a second round pick to get him, and you've got other teams saying this is a guy that wasn't on our board. So you never know. Like I said, sometimes what's down is up, and I'm certainly not going to bet against the Golden Knights, who have made a lot of really smart acquisitions over the last number of years. You try it, sometimes it doesn't always work, but they had the golden touch last year.
Yeah, and the bat is never on Kelly McCrimmon's shoulder. That is a guy who will swing and swing and swing. And I'm looking at cap friendly, $4.4 million still in projected deadline cap space with that LTIR pool. Golden Knights aren't done. They got each of their first round picks for the next 3 years, their second rounder next year, their third rounder this year. They have enough picks if they want to make another impact add, correct, Frank?
They do, yes. And they're going to continue to be active to try and do that. So we'll see.
All right, let's get an update on the trade targets board, Frank, over at dailyfaceoff.com. The top 10, it's always changing this time of year, and we're getting a look at things. Let's start with a guy who's bumping up your list a little bit, and that's Pavel Buchnevich. What's the latest on the Blues' motivation to move this winger?
Well, it's interesting because they are in a spot where hold on a second. I'm just finishing off the details here on this Vladimir Tarasenko trade. So it's I just tweeted out the details, and it is a Vladimir Tarasenko going to the Panthers. The Sens are retaining half. It's a 2025 third round pick. and a 2024 conditional fourth round pick. And in that case, that fourth round pick can become a third round pick if the Florida Panthers win a Stanley Cup. So I mumbled my way through that, but there is essentially where we're standing with Tarasenko. That's the return. And as mentioned, a couple sort of mid-round picks, so to speak. I don't think the Sens had very much leverage here when it came to Tarasenko and the place that he wanted to go. That's what the return tells me.
All right. Interesting enough. Back to trade targets and Buchnevich. Do you have an update on him?
So with Buchnevich, I think what's really interesting is the St. Louis Blues have told teams that they're willing to get creative. Now, what exactly does that mean? I'm told that the Blues have said if the return is right, that they are willing to retain half on Buchnevich, which to me is a really juicy tidbit because he's one of the guys on the board that is not a rental, has one more year left on his deal. And if teams are balking and think that the prices are expensive for rentals, well, in this case, moving forward with Buchnevich, not $5.8 million next season, just $2.9 million, which to me, a point per game player, I thought at 5.8, even a high return made sense for the player that Buchnevich has been. To get two runs at him at a really reasonable rate on your cap, I could see that being certainly worth the haul. So no guarantee, as I've said many times, that Buchnevich gets traded. But the fact that the Blues are in this spot where they're willing to mix it up a bit and juice the return by retaining half, man, that all of a sudden becomes a really fascinating target.
And as they go through this little retooling period, don't call it a rebuild or whatever, to sit there and potentially add the assets you could if you were to keep half of Buchnevich, that could really jumpstart things for Doug Armstrong and the Blues.
I was going to say, consider that the Blues went to the podium last year and made three first-round picks. They've got some stuff in their arsenal already. If you're able to add three additional, so the ask for Buchnevich before was two first round picks. So essentially a first round pick plus a first round pick equivalent, meaning a recent first round pick. If you're going to add in one more top level premium asset and get a team to retain half, that's three pieces coming back on top of the three that you just drafted last year, on top of Jake Neighbors having a 20 goal season, on top of Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas being 24, 25 years old, you can really start to see the pieces come together in St. Louis again for what could be another, 6 to 8, 10 year sustained period of time where you can compete.
Mm-hmm. Just quickly on the number one target on your trade targets list, that would be Penguins forward Jake Guentzel. The chat is absolutely buzzing with Guentzel talk. We got Rangers fans in there asking about him. We got Canucks fans in there asking about him. Oilers fans asking about him. Frank, everybody wants to know, what's the latest on Guentzel?
So there's been a lot of different reporting out there in the last 24 hours when it comes to Jake Guentzel. I don't know what's right. I don't know what's wrong. But when it comes to what happens next, there's been some talk. The Penguins want to wrap this up in the next 24 hours. My understanding is the Penguins have had a tougher time drumming up a robust market for Jake Guentzel than some might realize. And that part, again, subject to debate, you never know what the interest is like. And ultimately we'll see at the end of the day when it comes to what the return ends up being. But the Penguins are no doubt asking a lot for, as we've just talked about, a player who is very likely to be a pure rental, meaning Jake Guentzel probably going to market in the summer, unlikely people think to re-sign with whatever team he's traded to. And in that case, you see a lot of teams sort of take a step back and say, well, should we do that or should we turn to something else on the board? He's been connected to Vancouver. I think he's a real long shot for Edmonton. I don't think they've moved on, but I think he's further down the list for Edmonton on what they'd want to acquire. I do think the New York Rangers have closely kept tabs on the process. Some other teams sort of in that competitive window mode, like I think you could cross off a team like the Colorado Avalanche. They've obviously placed a premium on a center, but I don't think they have any interest in a rental winger. So I do think that in some ways, you know, Pittsburgh is in a fascinating spot for what should be the premier rental forward available, that it just kind of quite, at least to my knowledge, hasn't been there. Again, we'll see what the proof is in the pudding.
All right, we'll maybe have a little bit more on the top 10 and ask DFO. We got Carter Hutton coming up in a couple of minutes here, Frank, but let's quickly wrap up our first four topics with an update on the Flyers and Nick Seeler. Is an extension potentially coming there?
It seems very likely. They've made a bunch of progress here in the last 24 to 48 hours. They had known kind of what it would take to re-sign him. I'm expecting a deal somewhere between 3 and 4 years, somewhere around $3.25 million a year, which is a significant raise. I mean, this is the biggest contract Nick Seeler is going to get in his career. And for a player that a few years ago was contemplating hanging up his skates, this is a massive achievement. And he's been a fan favorite in Philly. But now what that does is it really turns the attention to Sean Walker. And, you know, I reported yesterday that the Flyers were probably pretty unlikely to re-sign both players, knowing what that cost would be. John Tortorella had made his opinion quite clear as to, you know, you've heard him talk about Seeler and the competitiveness that he brings to the team. That's one of the guys that he wanted to try and keep. Not to say that they don't like Sean Walker. It's just that to re-sign him for a period of time that's upwards of $5 million a year is going to be really expensive for a team that theoretically may be a non-playoff team next year and is still kind of rebuilding on the fly as they've been unexpectedly competitive, is what I would say. So I think what this does in getting Seeler done, who, by the way, is going to be out for the next couple weeks, which doesn't help the Flyers' playoff chances after blocking a shot on Monday against St. Louis, is it really ratchets up the likelihood that Sean Walker ends up getting traded. If you want to flash up the trade targets board there again, I think Sean Walker is in the number 4 spot in our top 10. So pretty good indication that between now and Friday at 3 p.m. that Sean Walker will likely be on the move.
All right, let's move along to our big segment for the day and get to the blue paint with Carter Hutton. The blue paint is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees for our Canadian listeners. All you need to do is download the app and enter the promo code NATION25. Restaurants, groceries, and more delivered right to your door with DoorDash. Carter Hutton, the former NHLer, joins us on the show as he does every couple of weeks to talk some goaltending. And Carter, it's deadline season, so let's talk about the goalie market. Things seem to have quieted down a little bit after, I mean, for a while there, it was like, okay, LA, Carolina, Colorado, all these teams sounded like they needed goalies, and now it's quiet. Which team do you think will regret potentially not addressing their goaltending this year?
You know, I think there's a few of them, but for me, it's obviously the fact that, like, with Colorado, you know, they came out earlier talking about Georgiev and Uninen being their backup, and they had Prosperov at the time. You know, and this is a team that is trying to win a Stanley Cup, and for me, I think trying to find a veteran guy that can relieve that, because Georgiev's a guy that plays with a lot of jump in his game. He plays really hard, so it's going to be interesting come playoff time, especially down the stretch, trying to get him a break. And I think now in Edmonton, they're committed to Calvin Pickard and getting him a little more games. For me, looking back on last year, I think with the Edmonton Oilers and Skinner kind of running out of gas a bit later on, he played 20 of the last 25 games. So trying to get, making sure we get him a little more spots start, so when he comes to playoff time, he's ready to rock.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I want to ask you about Jake Allen, and you just mentioned Eustace Annanen, and I thought for a while that Colorado might be the best landing spot for Allen in terms of, hey, the Habs are willing to retain, that could knock him down to $1.9 million, perfect backup or 1B range when it comes to their cap moving forward. He has term, brings you some stability. We saw with Pavel Francouz a couple years ago how much they ended up needing their second guy on their Stanley Cup run, because he started and won, I think, 4 or 5 games during that sprint for the Avs. But when you look at Allen, is he enough of an upgrade over someone like Annanen?
I think he is off the ice as well, too. I think something that comes into accountability is just, you know, being a teammate with Jake Allen for a few years in St. Louis and just knowing him as a person, which is super important, right? He's a veteran guy. He's won a Stanley Cup and he's been the backup. When he was with Binnington, he honestly, there were stories of him practicing like the goalie they were playing against, trying to emulate him. And he's just a guy that is low maintenance. He's never going to undermine the situation. And not that Unen isn't a good teammate, but there's just something that comes into play when you have a guy in a little bit more stability where Georgiev, you know, I don't think he's going to feel pressure from him if they went and got a guy to push him. But in this sense, I think Jake Allen's a great fit because of his locker room presence, and he is a low maintenance guy. You never hear from him. He comes in, he does his work, whether it's on the ice. And then if something was to happen, he could step in and play some valuable minutes for this Colorado Avalanche hockey team.
You're going to be a part of our deadline coverage on Friday, going live for 4 hours from 11 a.m. Eastern, right up until the trade stop in the afternoon. Carter, so let's move away from the goalie market and let me pick your brain on what you're thinking you'll see on Friday. Is there one team out there that you're keeping an eye on going, they're going to be making a lot of noise during our deadline show?
You know, there's a lot to think of. And I, again, touching on Colorado, I think they're going to make a big splash, right? I think that there's never been a year, I think, where it's been so open too. Like any team can win the Stanley Cup. And you look at what Florida just did, and I think this is going to be a very interesting deadline. Obviously, my first working 4 hours straight. This is like I have a real job now, boys. But I'm honestly looking forward to it. And I think with Freddie Anderson coming back in Carolina, that's another one that interests me. Like, what are they going to do with 4 goalies on tap and a team that's dangerous in the East with Carolina? So it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, moving forward into this deadline. And the unknown, I think, because of the chance this year, it feels like more than ever, the Stanley Cup is wide open. So, and again, I look for Vegas to make a splash because, you know, they want to win now again.
Yeah, we saw Vegas make that splash yesterday with Anthony Mantha. They've got more to come. But the fact that Edmonton and Colorado and the Rangers haven't done anything yet, that, you know, we've still got 48 plus hours to go, 51 hours to go. There's fireworks to come.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and especially Florida making that move right now, they're sending a message that they want to win and they want to get back to the Cup final and make a difference. So it's going to be interesting. And I like the platoon of goalies we have going on with Toronto, with Boston. They have two guys that are going to push each other. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Boston, you know, obviously with Allmark potentially, you know, being moved. I don't know how that happened. Frank, you're a little better at that stuff than me, but it seems odd to me with Boston used up a lot of guys last year. So it'll be interesting moving forward what they do as well.
Would you move Allmark if you were Don Sweeney? Like, you got to try and find creative ways if you don't have a top pick till, you know, for the foreseeable future to create value, right? You got to find new ways to bring in and improve your team. I just think at some point you're deleting to add or whatever that phrase is about addition by subtraction. I think it's the opposite of that. You've got the best tandem going in the league, I think, in Allmark and Swayman, two guys who obviously love each other and love playing with each other. To me, Boston messed up last year in the first round when they didn't switch out their goalies. Would you do it, or would you just keep well enough alone?
I think it's one of those ones, sometimes the best trade you make is the one you don't make, right? Like, so to keep this team together, there's a cohesiveness there and there's a culture that's built. But for me, looking back on this moment, I think last year where Allmark stumbled, I think of the times I played with him and the times in the minors where he struggled in Rochester when he had chances to play in the playoffs. And as a bigger goalie, you know, he never got the job done. So I like the idea of Montgomery coming out early and saying we're going to go with both guys and just keep it flowing instead of just giving Allmark the crease. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I do like having both goalies. It's nice to know you have two guys, and you definitely don't want to rock the boat when things are going well.
God, especially when they're as tight as those two are, Carter. And I mean, you see the hugs after every win and all that. You would imagine there's a lot less hard feelings when a guy's told, hey, you're sitting on the bench for this one, but your boy's getting the start when it's a tight-knit duo, right?
Yeah, for sure. I know me and Linus never got to do too many hugs playing in Buffalo together, but it's obviously something good to watch. And he's a great guy. He wears it on his sleeve, and he's a good teammate, and he's really grown into the pro that he is now. I think he was a little immature at times when I played with him, but he is a powerhouse goalie in this league, and it'd be hard to move on him unless the return is huge.
Carter Hutton, the former NHLer, get used to seeing that face. It'll be here for 4 hours on Friday. Carter, thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys, and we'll see you Friday.
Moving along to our daily face-off inbox question, hashtag AskDFO. And today it's brought to you by Tim Hortons. Frank, Roll Up the Rim is back for Tim's 60th anniversary. And to celebrate their big year, you can win some big prizes like the all-electric Volkswagen ID4, a sun-soaked Hilton getaway, and cash with a daily jackpot of $10,000. You can play today on the Tim's app. So find the Tim's app on your app store. Did you like my rolling of the R, Frank?
Dude, we didn't talk about this, but when I knew Tim Hortons was joining the program today, I was sitting at my desk yesterday afternoon practicing rolling my R's, and I can kind of do it, but it's not really the same. Well done. And to do it in midstream like you did, quite impressive.
Let's go to our inbox question. One piece of news we did not hit on, the Rasmus Sandin extension out in Washington. Frank, what did you make of the Caps locking him down? And also, give us a little Washington Capitals deadline update.
Well, we talked quickly about Max Pacioretty when it came to the Panthers and how they might not be done adding. The Mantha trade really kind of signals that they've thrown in the towel on this season. Now, the Sandin extension is interesting because obviously he could have been an RFA this summer and would have had Arbrights. I wonder if in the back of the Caps' minds, they were thinking that they might have been able to trade Sandin and get just as much as they gave up for him last year, which was a first-round pick that, oh, by the way, for Toronto ended up being Easton Cowan, who is a prize prospect who is now on the list of untouchables for the Leafs, which is amazing what can happen in 1 year's time. So ended up really working out for Toronto. For Washington, they get a defenseman that they feel like can fill out their lineup for the next half decade. I think the price is pretty reasonable. He's had a decent season. I think the question to ask would be, what is the top-end ceiling for Sandin? And I kind of feel like right now at age 24, he's hit that more or less. But you know, when you are able to at least keep some stability in your lineup, I think for Washington, that's still pretty important too.
Our pal Sergeant Battle is in the chat, and he wants to know a little bit about Anthony Duclair coming off a 4-point night last night for the San Jose Sharks, sitting with a cap hit of just $3 million. He's probably the most attractive pending UFA on that Sharks roster. Is there any sort of a market for Duclair?
I think it's a limited one. I mean, the speed is always a factor, and teams are really interested in that. It's been a tough go this season for Duclair. I think he'd be the first to acknowledge that. The fact that he has gotten up to 16 goals, closing in on 20, I think probably what you're looking at is, you know, a trade or return not all that different than what you just ended up seeing for Tarasenko in terms of what comes back. But Duclair, I think, is certainly interested in a change of scenery. And as one of those guys that is on the hunt for that next contract, to be able to go somewhere and go on a big playoff run would certainly help with that. And that's the thought process.
There you go. Our daily face-off inbox question brought to you by Tim Hortons. Roll Up the Rim is back for the month of March. You can play today by downloading the Tim Hortons app. Let's get along to our daily bets, Frank. It was a big, big miss on that over between Edmonton and Boston for me last night, but nailed my shot prop parlay plus 160 and nailed the Blackhawks money line last night. So that was a nice one. Was sleeping good with a profitable night. Tonight, couple of plays over at Betano. The first, shot prop parlay. Bobby McMahon has been one of my shot prop boys as of late. He's hit this number in six straight games, had a bunch of games where he's three, four, five shots on goal in that stretch. Shane Gostisbehere, defenseman for the Red Wings, he's hit this in four straight. So you play those two bad boys together for a very nice plus 158 payout. My second play, let's try another over here. Buffalo and Toronto. Buffalo's offense is humming right now. We saw them over the weekend hang a seven spot on the Vegas Golden Knights. So why not bank on them scoring a little bit and going against the Sabres goaltending? I don't feel that. I don't feel that confident in them. So why not? Leafs and Sabres to pile up the goals in Toronto tonight, over 6.5 at minus 110. Patano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year. The game starts now at patano.ca. Frank, garbage time. Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor game. Head to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. I've been cooked since Monday, so damn it. But if I had to pick a spot here, this is for tomorrow, Thursday. Edmonton over 1.5 power play goals against Columbus. That seems like a pretty decent play.
I'd be riding the Penguins under 3.5 goals, as 42% of the field is. I mean, seems like the wheels are falling off in Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little bit. Let's take a look at a couple of goals from last night for garbage time. Frank Gav, flash the first one up here. It is a hilarious own goal by the Columbus Blue Jackets, just turning around Eric Branson and wiring a slap shot that eventually ends up in the back of your own net. We also had the old stanchion play from David Savard at center ice, and UC Saros can do nothing but just stand behind the net and watch that one go in. An insane angle on that one. Which of these two goals was weirder?
Well, first I'd say two defensive defensemen contributing goals in the most unlikely ways possible. So for them, you'd take them any way you could get them. And for Gudbranson, I would say a dad joke here, that would be Eric Bad Branson, in terms of how that went in. Which of these two is more weird? It's got to be the stanchion. I mean, Saros vacating the net and the angle. I don't know if we can roll it again. I don't know if they had the side angle in this clip, but the one of the camera from the corner, and you see how it just kind of narrowly, you know, sneaks in the side of the net. This one, yeah. Ugh.
Oh, like yeah. That angle's crazy.
It's the side angle that does it. So, yeah, I mean, stuff happens when you're firing pucks off of shin pads, but Saros can do nothing but just stand there and go, yeah. What?
I also liked the shot of it. It looked like Andrew Brunette was trying not to laugh, honestly, as he stood there behind the bench. Like, what can he even do in that one? We had a lot of people sitting over in the YouTube chat, so appreciate everybody swinging in. Let's take one more Ask DFO question from Awesome, who says, what do you think the Leafs will buy on Friday and maybe a percent chance that they make a big splash?
I would say a percent chance that the Leafs make a big splash. I'll peg it at 33%. I think it's going to take a special deal for them to be moving that first round pick. And it's not because they don't want to, or they're not trying to improve. It's just that I don't know that anything to this point in time has really met their fancy in terms of what they think would be significant upgrades. They've got a list of prospects that they're not moving. They're still looking for help on the back end. I'd be surprised if they don't get another defenseman. And I think the market has shown that you don't really need to spend huge to try and bring in another body or two. But in terms of really going out and making a significant game-changing acquisition, I'm thinking it's less likely, obviously, with that number than likely, but we'll see.
4-hour live stream coming up on Friday right here on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. So if you're new to the show, hammer that subscribe button. Tomorrow, new episode of the DFO Rundown. Going to be Frank's old notebook emptying episode of the Rundown. And then we'll be live right here, noon Eastern, once again tomorrow. And it will be a doozy of a show. Big shout out to Patano, Wendy's, and Tim Hortons. Everybody who chimed in over on the YouTube, we'll chat with you again tomorrow, noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.